Okay, so yeah, I guess yeah, it's 10 o'clock. So we're welcome along. This is first of the parallel sessions, spatial approaches and digital preservation. So we've got three speakers here. Now I understand the format we're going to work with is rather than have questions at the end of each talk, we're going to give you 20 minutes each, and then when we've had all three, then we'll have a more broad discussion, you know, relating to all of those. So that's the format for today. And I have this, this 2 minutes warning thing, and then when things get really tough, then time comes up after the 20 minutes. So, and time in today will be brought to you by Seiko, apparently. But yeah, okay, so yeah, that's pretty much everything. So the first speaker is Jessica Douglas from Waterford Institute of Technology, and we'll talk to the lived experience of social interaction and digital exclusion amongst older people in rural Ireland.
Hi everyone. So for this presentation, I'm going to give a brief overview of my PhD research, and then the main subject area I want to talk about today that I've identified in the literature is an issue that's come up in the literature I've been looking at, and that is the term digital divide and how it's been applied to older users or non-users of digital technology. My main focus today is the lived experience of social interaction and digital exclusion. I'll be looking at older people in rural South East Ireland, and it examines the relationship between digital exclusion and social exclusion. I will then finish talking a bit about my methods, which one of them is ethnography, and how as a method it's a potential to give a greater understanding of the lived experience of older people in rural Ireland and their relationship with technology. So this is an overview of my PhD research. My central research question is, how do older people in rural South East Ireland negotiate technology and social interaction in their everyday lives? This line of inquiry is important to both a sociological and an anthropological sense, as well as having relevance for gerontology and design in general. And Ireland has one of the highest global proportions of older people living in rural areas, according to the UN, a study in 2010. Several studies have suggested that rural elderly are at an increased risk of social exclusion. My literature review has encompassed a detailed survey of studies into social exclusion, which I'll talk about later, and how elderly are at an increased risk. It also examines the array of technological developments or interventions that are aimed at targeting social isolation among older people. What is missing in the literature are studies that look in depth into how technology is used by rural elderly on a daily basis. The design process normally takes place in labs or a daycare setting or nursing home setting. So I'll be actually looking to go into people's everyday lives, into their homes, into whether they go shopping or the social interactions, their family. And my research addresses gaps in knowledge, not just leading to a greater understanding of the everyday lives of elderly in Ireland, but also to the wider context of how older people negotiate new technology and the impact of technological innovation has on their social lives. There is further potential for design solutions generated from the deep ethnographic data collection and therefore from the actual lived experience of the rural elderly. As individuals, so I'm not just looking as a homogenous group, it's the actual individuals that I'll be looking at, as opposed to the more established approach of gerontology technology, which is it's more of a technological intervention approach that often stems from presumptions of ageing and stereotypes. Okay, so this is just a quick look at my methodology. So how will I do this? I'm going to address this knowledge deficit by using ethnographic methods in interpretivist and critical paradigms. I'll talk about a bit more about my fieldwork later. This is an interdisciplinary humanistic approach that promotes an empathic model of ageing. And this involves investigating the complexities of human social and technological interaction to uncover any unfulfilled user-driven design needs. Data collected will help to establish a much-needed theoretical framework, as well as guidelines for technological innovation in the area of ageing and care. Okay, on to social exclusion. So, a report called The Social Exclusion and Ageing in Diverse Rural Communities came out in 2010, and it was published by the Irish Centre for Social Gerontology. It claims that there is a knowledge deficit that has contributed directly or indirectly to our lack of understanding of exclusion for rural dwelling older people. The authors examine how social exclusion has been defined and redefined over recent years and incorporated the Bristol Social Exclusion Matrix, or BSEM. The authors of this model state, social exclusion is a complex process operating across several dimensions or domains. So these are the domains here. You can see resources, participation, and quality of life. It involves both the lack or denial of resources, rights, goods, and services, and the inability to participate in the normal relationships and activities available to the majority of people in a society, whether in economic, social, cultural, or political arenas. It affects both the quality of life of individuals and the equity and cohesion of society as a whole. But the authors see the BSEM as a working model for social exclusion, and they encourage researchers to render it through their empirical research. However, it does also provide a sound framework for understanding the multi-dimensional disadvantages relating to social exclusion, which differentiate it from issues such as poverty. Now, how does this apply to social exclusion amongst older people? Well, Walsh et al. Acknowledge that BSEM is a general model of social exclusion that doesn't deal specifically with rural areas or older people, but is helpful in understanding the possible areas of domains or domains of life from which individuals and groups, including older people, can be excluded. So here I represent this Walsh's working model of age-related rural social exclusion. The blue boxes here, which are financial resources, services, and social, and they contain the initial domains, which they sort of got from the BSEM originally. Then the orange boxes from income, transport and mobility, safety and security and crime, social connections and resources, that's what they have. They depict the domains that the researchers subsequently developed from face-to-face interviews with older participants across 10 sites in Ireland. Both the authors of this study and those of the BSEM model stress the interrelatedness of these domains, where dimensions within often overlap. So while the domains have been presented independently, there are complex interactions amongst them that ultimately determine the nature and the depth of exclusion felt by older people living in rural communities. And I have illustrated this complexity of domain interaction by including two other macro domains, so individual diversity and rural diversity, that came up in the literature, and which the author suggests that may influence risk of social exclusion in older people across the domains. So the authors identified social connections and social resources as dominant themes from their fieldwork, which is echoed in other studies globally. And here, I do feel that they overlook one potential domain of social exclusion, and that's the use of digital resources, which is the grey box here. So I've included it in this model, and it's wholly absent from their paper. So digital divide or digital exclusion. The link between social exclusion and digital exclusion is widely reported in research, for example, Cushman and Clagan, 2006. And also Levitas, 2007, Park, 2008. So even if there is no evidence in the Irish study, it's a glaring omission to preclude any discussion or lack of phenomena. So there is a gap in the research on how digital technology may contribute or even perhaps even alleviate social exclusion among older people in rural Ireland. The digital divide has been discussed as a limiting factor in social cohesion since the end of 2000s. But the term digital divide conjures imagery of an illusory binary state of play between the haves and the have-nots, and therefore it's quite simplistic, really. It is critiqued by White and Selwyn, who counted that the crude notion of the digital divide is better understood as a set of digital divides or inequalities, or as a spectrum or continuum of difference. So Cushman and Clayton suggest that the digital divide is a new form of social inequality, and the term digital exclusion would better reflect the unequal access to digital resources among low socioeconomic and ethnic minority groups. But what about older people? So in 2018, Ofcom published a study that indicated that there is still a distinct digital divide. Non-users of the internet are more likely to be aged over 65 than users. Knowles and Hansen argue, despite many being proficient in previous generations, some older people may be rejecting digital technology in protest of increasingly digital society that they do not trust. So whether it's rejection or digital exclusion or a myriad of factors, low participation in digital technology may be contributing to social isolation and exclusion amongst this age group in Ireland, especially in rural areas. So there are several issues to consider when looking at potential digital exclusion amongst rural older people in an Irish context. Firstly, we must look at the concept of digital inclusion as a socio-political side effect of the global pervasive drive for progress towards a digital society. This is manifest in several areas, so societal, for example, EU strategy, like the EU Commission's report in 2000, political, which is like national strategy, and economical, businesses and entrepreneurial, for example, the knowledge economy. This drive sustains a socio-political discourse that advocates for the perfect state of play where all members of society participate in digital society, and that access will contribute to increased education, socio-economic affluence in the general population, so it's digital inclusion. For example, this is the landing page for Good Things Foundation, and it's a UK charity, and their main statement is that the benefits of developing digital skills cannot be underestimated. From communicating easily with the world around, to accessing learning and job opportunities, managing, making and saving money, and even improving physical and mental health, digital literacy is a vital skill to participate fully in the modern world. Good Things Foundation wants to make sure that everyone has that opportunity. So this normative discourse presents non-users of the internet as a problem. And one of the largest groups of non-users are older people and rural communities. But do these individuals experience a lack of digital inclusion? And if so, does it affect their daily lives? If we can conclude from the relevant literature that digital exclusion is a factor in social exclusion, can we see the effects of this in everyday lives of older people in rural areas, the very population that's being problematised in the normative discourse of the digital society? This is where ageing heterogeneity comes in. So digital inclusion strategy makes assumptions regarding the detrimental effects of low participation rates among groups of users or non-users. Little regard for how individuals are engaging with digital technology, their needs and desires to do so, or perceived benefits and risks of embracing the digital society. So there are risks as well as benefits. What is often overlooked in the strive for a fully inclusive digital society are the potential risks for often the most vulnerable groups. We also have to differentiate between two different types of digital divide. So you have first level digital divide, which is tempered by lack of access, whether infrastructurally or due to socio-economic reasons. And then a second level, which encompasses issues of how people are actually accessing digital technology. The latter includes older people that may have had access for many years and are skilled users of digital technology, but as they grow older and they're no longer in the workplace, they're subject to a type of digital exclusion that limits their means to keep abreast of latest developments. Now, it's a multifaceted issue, and many studies assume older people tangibly experience digital exclusion, when in fact it's not clear how individuals are affected by low participation in a digital society or non-use of digital technology. So Gemma Mooland recently warned against wholesale digital inclusion policies that make assumptions for demographic groups, such as old people. She says, we need to be thinking much more carefully about the drivers and barriers to using the internet, personal circumstance, self-confidence, and individual perception of the internet's value are all factors we need to think through. Whilst those who are more confident and interested might seek standalone digital support, not everyone will. And answers cannot be elucidated from questionnaires or interviewing alone. Ethnography has the potential to uncover these underlying issues. My just an overview of the fields work that I've started and I will be doing. So it's going to happen in 4 rural locations across the southeast for a period of 6 months at each site. It's an iterative process, so my methodology is going to be adapted to reflect the heterogeneity in the lives and experience of each individual participating in the study. So it's not a one-size-fits-all methodology. My participant observation, it starts in September, and I'm also keeping a reflective journal so I can keep track of thoughts and processes and any concerns. It's important when you're working with vulnerable people to be mindful of what you're doing and the effects that you have in their lives. I'm also going to, I have issued a journal to my current participants, and I'll be doing that for my future participants to reflect on this observation process. They can keep track of any concerns or changes in behaviour, and also I'll ask them to keep notes on the days that I'm not there, just if any experiences they have with challenges with technology or even just social isolation, or any feelings like that. So the plan was that contacts will be cultivated in the months prior to beginning fieldwork in a new location, with potential participants identified, informed consent secured, and risk assessments carried out before ethnographic data collection starts. But in this case, when I started in September, my contact came through volunteer work I do with the local Meals on Wheels service. It runs from a daycare centre for elderly and disabled people. And some of the insights I have already will... my participant is, she's very active. She's she wouldn't consider herself vulnerable in any way. So she's very independent. She has a low-end smartphone, but she relies on distant family to show her how to use it, for example, the apps on the phone, or she uses it as a Wi-Fi hotspot at home because she can't get broadband, so it's very limited internet use that she has. Her friend's 14-year-old daughter downloaded a pedometer app because she likes to be active. She likes to try and walk at least a mile a day. So she used it to measure what a mile is on her familiar routes, and then she just stopped the app. She didn't want to use it after that. She didn't want it on the phone or even. So it was turned off and then it was deleted. So I'm just going to give you just a bit of a visual tour through my fieldwork location. As you see, it's fairly rural. There are signs still of sort of the recession where people started building houses and just stopped, still quite isolated out there. And that's it, that's my talk. So a small glimpse into my PhD research. I am interested in the patterns of technological and social relationships, human and tech interaction, digital society effects on humans and social relations, and this is where you can find me on LinkedIn or Twitter, and my references there.